Be still and know, as I was listening to that song, to hear the Lord. We're going to look at that a little bit later toward the end of this sermon. So, praise God. It is a blessing to see all of you in this morning, as we had quite a storm. Today we're looking at the time frame of Scripture of 8 days after the birth of Christ. Now, as we looked at last Sunday, the coming of Christ, a final calendar, and Wednesday we would have had Christmas Eve service, but the weather didn't allow it. So think about this. This is 8 days after the birth of Christ. And I was thinking, when I was looking at this, I was thinking about the first week of Advent. The first week we looked at was prophecy candle, hope, the hope candle. Hope that comes from God. And as we had this storm hit, all the hope that was going out for safety for everybody, that they would be taken care of, and how good God is. Well, all the prophets were looking forward to the coming Messiah. Most did not see that fulfillment of the prophecies because they passed on and the Lord was still coming. So we're going to look at those who did get to see the fulfillment of the coming Messiah. And those prophecies, they got to see it. Now, granted, like I say many times, we're so blessed to be on this side of the cross. We know what Jesus has done. We have all the word. What a blessing it is. So, we're in actually Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. And I'll be reading from there. So, remember, 8 days after his birth. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said, what he said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, I want us to understand, I really reinforce this. When we read Scripture, when we do read the Scriptures, there is no words in Scripture that are fillers. They're there for a purpose. And it's up to us to ask God to reveal these purpose for us. So the first, as we look at this, the first few verses of this, this is the beginning of Jesus Christ fulfilling the law. The law. It says, then when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him into Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And it says they're to offer a sacrifice. And that was fulfilling of the law. Now, several things did occur. Circumcision and the purification of Christ. Then there was the dedication, where the child would be dedicated to the Lord. This is, as we're going to see here, when, as Christians, as believers, we dedicate our children to the Lord, just like Hannah did. She dedicated her child, Samuel, to the Lord, for the glory of the Lord. Where I don't do infant baptisms. Because to be baptized, you have to be a born again. You have to accept Christ your Savior, and that infant, we don't know. But we follow the scriptures. So why Jesus, God in the flesh, observed the law? You ever thought about that? It all boils down to he, Jesus, at that point, would be able to redeem man from under the law. That's why being born of a woman, but was by the Holy Spirit, he fulfilled all the law. And you're going to see this coming about throughout as he grows. But it was so that he could redeem man from the law. Look at Galatians 4:4-5 for me, please. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Very important we understand that. He would fulfill the law completely. Now, the two pigeons that were offered, it's really interesting, and we see this marked here. This would be an offering of the poor. The poor. The rich would offer a lamb of their firstborn. But the poor, two pigeons. And I just think how wonderful God is that he chose a poor family to raise his son. Regular, ordinary people, godly people, but not raised in a castle with all the prestige. A poor family would raise his son, an ordinarily family, just like all of us sitting in here right now. So they're going to do the fulfilling of the law, and then what happens is something very special. In verse 25, it says, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. What is happening here, and this whole event is happening, is at the temple. And here's this man, Simeon. The only thing mentioned about this man is that he's righteous and a devout man. Some think, as I read some different commentaries, some think that he could have been a priest. Scripture doesn't say that, though. He's just a righteous, devout man. I really believe this man was a completely godly man. And the descriptions given here, as we look at that, I would say he loved God. He truly loved God. Because he loved God, he was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah, there was over 360 prophecies about the coming Messiah in the Old Testament. Jesus would fulfill all of them. So it was written about the coming Messiah. This man was looking forward to it. He had his eyes focused on God and was looking for the Messiah to come. You know, and I put us into today's time. Are we looking for the return of Jesus? Keeping our eyes focused on God? Looking for, because Jesus said, I'm coming back to get you. Well, what's amazing about this is a righteous and a godly man. God was going to use him, this man, ordinary man, to proclaim the message of God's son's life. Wow. I thought, man, that's really, really amazing. A righteous and a devout man. And what was happening? The Holy Spirit was upon this man. The Holy Spirit. He's a righteous man. In other words, when you look at the Hebrew, or the Greek word for righteous here, he lived as one should. He treated people as one should, righteously. So how we live and how we treat others, this is what this man was doing. He's an example to us. And we're going to see the blessing that folds upon him. He was, it also says, a devout man. A devout man. Now in the Greek, so he had a relationship to God, with God. He was reverent towards God. Well, folks, that's all open for us too. All open for us. We can be righteous and live righteous unto God because of Jesus Christ. He was looking forward to the coming Messiah. As we are. Jesus said, I'm coming back. As we all should, we should live righteous and a devout life. Do everything we can to do that. Does that mean we do it every day, every minute? No, we fail. That's why Christ came. But we're to try to live our life that way. Looking for God. For everything. And looking for the return of Christ. Put it for me, Titus 2, please. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all the lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. That's how we should live our lives. Make every attempt to do that. Every attempt. And God will help us. We just have to ask. God will help us do that. But what's amazing is with this man, Simeon, he's living a godly life. He's living a righteous and a devout life. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit. He's being led by the Holy Spirit. By living a life like him, righteous and devout, we will listen to the Holy Spirit. Think about that a minute. We will listen to the Holy Spirit and we will follow God. That's amazing. Are we listening to God? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit as he speaks? You may say, well, I've never heard him talk to me. Are you listening? Are you following? When we study God's word, when we're in prayer, it's preparing us, and God will use us. God is able to use us for his kingdom. The Holy Spirit will direct us into where we're to go, what we're to do, who we're to live. Living righteousness upon God. When we spend the time in prayer, in studying his word, God draws us closer. He truly does. And he is the one that changes our hearts and our minds. You realize, folks, you cannot change your heart or your mind, but God can. He's the one who will change our hearts and change our minds. So if we're seeking him, if we're praying unto him, if we're in his word, he does the changing. He does the changing. He changes our hearts and our minds. He truly does. And then he can use us. And that's where the blessing comes in. He will use us. He may use you to just help somebody out.
Give comfort to somebody. Pray with them. Whatever it is. He'll use you, and you receive the blessing. And he does all the work. I'm telling you, it's a win-win-win-win-win situation for us. It is such a blessing. So here's this godly man. And I think about this church and the people in here. They're godly, righteous people seeking the Lord. And what does God do? He uses us. Look at what happens in verse 26. This is the result of living a godly and a righteous life. The result. Now, 26. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the Holy Spirit tells him, before you die, you're going to see the Christ. Wow. Think about that a minute. This is the result of spending time with God. The man hears the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit tells him. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit revealed something so profound to this man. He would not die until he saw the Christ. See, the Christ is salvation. And this man, I'm going to see my salvation. Folks, we're blessed. We're so blessed. Our salvation has come. He's with us now. We have salvation. What happened here, because this was a devout man, a godly man, a righteous man who sought the Lord, God answered his prayers. God answered his prayers. And the great blessing, he got to see the Lord. Think about that a minute. You may say, well, God isn't really answering my prayers. Really? You know, sometimes God says, okay, right now. Sometimes he'll say, not yet. Later. It's God's timing, not ours. So many times, and I've had to learn this, when I pray about something, I'm looking, okay, Lord, it's been about 10 seconds. Should be happening. No, it's in his timing, and there's reasons for that. But this man was at the end of his age. Now he could die. He had seen. So how old was he? I don't know. But now he could. I've seen the salvation. Wow. But I want us to also see something that happened in verse 27 that we need to know and understand. And I know this last week with the weather and the roads and all the situation, like I said, this is more people than I thought would be here because of all the problems and all the things that went on. But look at this, verse 27. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him for him according to custom law. He came in the Spirit where? To the temple. The church. He came in the Spirit. Where did the Holy Spirit lead him? Into the church to see the Christ. Wow. He is being led by the Spirit. And he's coming. He's coming into the temple filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you asking to be filled in the Holy Spirit every day? Are you asking when you come into church, fill me the Holy Spirit, Lord? The blessing's coming. When you study the Word of God, when I teach this Word, do you develop more revelation? Are you growing in Christ? Are you being drawn closer to God? What have you been praying about? Do your prayers, sometimes you prayed and seen the scripture up here and go, Lord, you answered my prayer. Are you reading the Word? And he said, oh, you answered my prayer. Here's a question that I think is for all of us. Are we spending time with God in prayer and His Word and asking to be filled in the Holy Spirit? That's a question for each one of us. This is something we need to do daily, daily. Now, here comes a promise for you. You may say, well, am I hearing the Holy Spirit? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Our Heavenly Father, God, will give believers the Holy Spirit in fullness to those who ask. That doesn't mean, well, you know what, I got to go out and I got to do all this and, you know, I need to work at the church. No. Ask. Put up Luke 11:13 for me. Jesus says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How many of us know how to give good gifts to our children? All of us, right? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Folks, that's a promise. And that's a promise I want you to stand on. If you're struggling in areas, you're not sure about things, stand on that. Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. I need you, God. I'm asking. We give good gifts to our kids. What's that say? How much more will our Father give us the Holy Spirit? If you're questioning yourself now, Lord, am I filled with the Spirit? As I'm speaking right now, ask Him. Lord, fill me. Overflow me. Right now, ask Him. He'll do it. There's your promise. God does not lie. Scripture is very clear. God does not lie. Now, you and I, we try not to lie. We have the choice to lie or not. God cannot lie. I will give you the Spirit if you ask. Wow. That's amazing to me. Here, Simeon is in the temple, the church. And God is blessing him. When you come into the church, God will bless you. It could be in worship time. It could be in prayer time. It could be studying His Word. It could become, and like I see so much of a blessing, is when everybody in here, sometimes I can't start the service because everybody's welcoming each other and loving upon each other. That's a blessing, folks. That's a huge. This is a family. A family of believers. It's comfort to come in and talk and see people who are in line with you, following God. So God's going to bless him. Mary and Joseph bring this child in, the Christ child. Well, you ever thought about that? What kind of blessing can happen to you coming into church? Maybe you could say, Lord, fill me with the Spirit. If there's somebody there who's struggling, having a hard time, God, use me to go and love on them. Use me to go and help them. Because, you know, there's going to be another time where you're going to come in here and you're going to be down in the dumps. You've been through a horrible thing or tough thing, and you're going to really like it when another brother or sister comes up and gives you comfort that comes from God. You're worshiping the Lord when you come into a church, into a temple. It is a privileged blessing. You get to worship Him. We're going to read God's holy word. You know, you come into this church, I'm going to read. We're going to study this. And God may use you to bless somebody else. That's the great thing. He don't need me to bless you. He doesn't need you to bless others, but He will. So that we get blessed by it. Blessing others is a huge blessing to yourself. And it's amazing. So Simeon comes into the church and God's going to bless him. And what happens? Here's a huge blessing. Simeon, in verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Think about that a minute. God is allowing Simeon, a righteous, devout, godly man, to hold the Christ child.
Nothing more blessed than that, is there?
Could you see yourself holding the Lord? That's a blessing, folks. The child of God's salvation, you're holding. All because he was a godly man, seeking God, living a righteous, devout life.
And when you look at that, Simeon's got this child, and he says, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. The source of peace for the world, Simeon's holding. He believed God, truly believed, and he's praising God for the fulfillment of his word. God told the Jews, I'm sending the Messiah. We looked at this whole month. He told them, I'm sending it. And here's Simeon, a man, he's now holding it. Wow. He believed him, and now he's fulfilling his word. He saw God's faithfulness, and he could not die until he had saw. But now he can. Why? He could depart in peace. His word says, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. You know what? He could depart in that peace. Look at John 14, 27 for me. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The source of peace he's holding in his arms. What kind of peace would that man have? I can't even imagine. It's so much. That's the same for all of us. Jesus gives us peace, his peace. We don't understand all things. Sometimes it takes years to look back and go, oh, now I get why that didn't happen or that happened. You know, when God called me to pastor, I was later in my life. And I would always ask him, Lord, why didn't you call me when I was a young man? Say in my 20s or in my 30s. Why didn't you? I must have asked him for several years. And then he showed me. We had a drug and alcohol class here. About 25 to 30 people would be in it. In that 25 to 30, there was usually 5, if not 6, PKs, preacher kids. And then I sat and I went, oh, I would have been a horrible pastor dad. I would have expected my children to be leading worship and leading the Bible studies and being just like everybody wants you to be. They're not, they're kids. And a lot of preacher kids go down the wrong road. There's so much stress upon them, so much heavy weight upon them to follow in their dad's footsteps. I went, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You didn't call me till later. But here this man is holding the Prince of Peace. I can depart now, Lord. I've seen my salvation. But he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He has seen Christ's salvation. He's confessing here that there is only salvation and it's only in this child that I'm holding is there salvation. There is no other way except through Jesus Christ. To enter into heaven, eternal life, we must confess that Jesus is God's salvation. Here's the scripture explaining it clearly. It is only through Jesus that man can be saved. And acknowledging who he is, God in the flesh. Look at Matthew 10, please. So everyone, this is Jesus speaking. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who's in heaven. Jesus, we went over this and as we looked, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, God in the flesh. There are all other religions. all accept Christianity. All deny who Jesus is. They say he is not God. He's a prophet. He's a good man. What's Jesus say? You deny me, I'm going to deny you. It's pretty harsh. But what we have to understand is where it comes in for all of us. We're not Jewish. I don't think there's anybody Jewish here. We're not Jewish because he says in 31 that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. God's salvation was prepared for all people. Jesus came to save all people. God doesn't want any to perish. He wants all people to get saved. And so for us, they would either in Scripture call them Jews or the Greeks or Gentiles. Greeks, Gentiles means non-Jews. So what's it say in verse 32? A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So it's for all. It's it. The light was given to the Gentiles. Our eyes have been opened that we can see Christ, Jesus Christ, is salvation, period. And it's not just for the Jews. It is for all. Jesus, when it says a light was given, Jesus is the light of the world. Put up for me, please, John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to him, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light. I find it interesting in Revelation, there is no more need for sun. The glory of the Lord will be our light. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Wow. You don't need a sun because the glory of the Lord will be our light. But I think about too, as we've looked over Mary and Joseph this last month, it says in verse 33, and his father and his mother marveled at what was being said about him. They're standing back listening to this man say all this. Well, I truly believe that Mary and Joseph were given these predictions. Why? To encourage them and to assure them. We need to understand they had been through a lot. They needed that strength from God. I mean, can you imagine all the ridicule they got because Joseph hadn't been with her, she's pregnant, all the different things. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And God knew that. So he gives them this reassurance, this comfort. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. So what does it mean, appointed for the fall and the rising? Jesus is the stone of stumbling, and he's also the chief cornerstone. Many would stumble over the Christ, but many would trust him. That's what it's talking about there. A person has a choice. Every single person has a choice. Either you make a choice to follow Christ or you don't. That is your choice. If a person doesn't choose, you've made your choice. Either you're going to follow Christ or not. It's your choice. I see how God has loved us so much, he gave his only son. Why would you not choose the son? Why? Look at 1 Peter 2. So honor is for you who believe. Wow, God says honor. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. By not believing, you're fulfilling the destination. But by believing, you have eternal life. Jesus is the Christ. He is a sign of God's love, but also judgment. He loves us so much, we receive his love forever.
You reject his love. You reject him. You fall under judgment.
All people have to make a decision to follow Christ or reject Christ. There is no in between. Then comes what is a really,
we're going to look at another devout and a righteous individual. Verse 36,
and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was, 84, excuse me. Think about this a minute. We're going to look at a woman here that is devout and righteous. Very much so. Anna's her name. And like I say, there's when you look at Scripture, there's always a reason for every word. Anna is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Hannah. And we know Hannah. She was the mother of Samuel, the great prophet, who when she said, Lord, let me have a child and I'll devote him totally to the Lord, to you. She had the child, weaned him, did all the things, and then handed it over to God. He became a great prophet. As we read these verses, though, we see a woman that is totally, completely devoted to God. First of all, she's a prophetess. This is highly unusual. Really unusual for a woman to be a prophetess at this time. There had not been a prophet at this time for over 300 years in Israel. Wow. Huh. And God raised up a prophet, and it was a woman. Nice. This was very, very unusual. This was a very special lady. And I say this because I want to encourage all women, all men too. Because we have Simeon and we have Anna. She loved God. She truly, truly loved God. And all her hope was in God. Being a prophetess, she studied the Word of God. She knew the Word of God. And she was approved by God to show the riches of His grace. Anna's hope was in God. And God blessed her. Look at Psalm 33:18. I wanted to show this in the Psalm. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him and those who hope in His steadfast love. That's who the Lord's got His eye on. Now, we see here, and I like this, how it's wording. And then as a widow, until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. What a woman. Amazing. We see how strong her hope in God was. She's 84. Do you know how many times I've heard from older people? Well, I served in the church. You know, I'm older. I might just kick back. Really? What's this say? 84 and still worshiping, praising, fasting. She didn't waver. She never wavered. She was steadfast in her belief. Now, here's the part that you may not have seen. She was married young as a virgin. So she's teens, early 20s, somewhere in that area. And only had a husband for 7 years. So how old would she be at that point? Maybe late 20s, maybe. She never remarried. How many women would complain and gripe? A lot. How many guys would? Yeah, same thing. She was a widow for a very, very long time. But what did she do? She was devoted her life to God. She did not depart from the temple. Worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. You can do the same thing at home. Worship, fast, pray, whether it's here, home, whatever the case. She devoted it. Losing her husband, maybe she took that as a sign from God that he wanted her for him. Truly think so. I remember in my own life when my dad passed. My dad and I were like this. We did everything. And he had diagnosed with cancer. 83 or something like that. I can't remember what age. And I was belly aching to God, complaining to God about it. And I said, Lord, you know, I talked to Dad about everything. We do everything together. And God told me, I want that relationship with you. Okay. He gave me peace when my dad passed. I went, all right, I understand, Lord. That closeness that I had with my earthly father, God wanted that for me also with him. Because she worshiped day and night, and she never left the temple. She served God with fastings and prayers. Example for all of us, folks. She served and she hoped in God. Now, understand, this was before the New Testament was written as far as her life, because the Christ hadn't came yet. But I think she knew, and I really come up with this scripture because I think she knew this scripture by heart. Put it for me, 1 Chronicles 16. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. You know what? You can ask God, you're driving home. Lord, I need your presence with me. You're at lunch. Lord, I need your presence. You're sitting at home. You're alone. Lord, I need your presence. I think she knew that one. I think she had that one locked in. And the last verse, it says, and coming up that very hour, boom, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. She knew instantly who this child was. Somebody's at the temple day and night praying, fasting, and worshiping. Instantly, she knew who that child was. No doubt about it. Yeah. And the minute she saw Jesus, she started praising him. Praising God. And I kind of tried to figure out what her praise would be. Be overwhelming praise. Praise that I'm not sure I would even be able to describe. After she's 84, for 50, 60 years, she's been there praising and worshiping God, fasting and prayer, and all of a sudden, I imagine the heart was just open. God had guided this woman her entire life, just like he will guide us. Think about this. When you got saved, how old were you? Well, I was in my 20s. I could see back now why he had his hand upon me all throughout my life, guiding me and directing me all the way. God took care of her. He provided for her no matter what. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He will provide. He will protect. He will instruct you. You keep your eyes on the Lord. And he directed her all the way to the Messiah. Same as he's going to do with you. God will direct you all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. And why was she praising God? Look at what the word says. Giving thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for their redemption. She's praising God because she saw the redemption, the promised Messiah. Jesus is the hope of man's redemption, and only in Jesus. Romans 3:23 and 3:24, please. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There is no other redemption. Period. It's only in Jesus Christ. And look at Ephesians 1:7 for me, please. For in him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Trespasses, yes, sins. When we sin, we're trying to do right. And we sin, it means we don't do it. Trespasses, we're not even trying to be good. I'm going to go do this bad thing and I don't care. King David said, blessed is a man whose trespasses are forgiven. Through Christ, they are. She spoke all about Jesus. She saw the Christ, the one thing she'd been praying for. She shared God's salvation message to all. The hope and the redemption of man. She shared. I want to leave you with that. We have great hope and we have redemption in Christ. We have God's salvation message. And we need to share it. Share it with all. Let's close. Father God, I want to praise you and thank you for this time we've had, Lord. And I ask right now, Lord, that you would just pour out your spirit upon us now, Lord. I am asking, Lord God, to be overfilled with the Holy Spirit. I am asking that every person sitting in here or watching this message, Lord, would be overfilled with your Holy Spirit, that your love would flow out of us to the lost, Lord, to other believers, Lord, for encouragement, strengthening. Lord God, we praise you. We thank you, God. You sent your glorious Son to us, Lord. We owe our lives to you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship the Lord, please.